Hey guys, welcome to the Dead Set Legends podcast. I'm Gus Wallen. I'm here with Jude Bolton.
We had Drew Mitchell last week, but you are back this week. How are you, Del?
Mate, I've had a really good week. Just getting out and about in Wollongong. Obviously some bushwalking, and I love going to the beach. I love me music. I love getting up early, because actually I got that from you a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Used to get up early and
walk. In the morning.
Yes.
Yep. When the morning goes 5:30 every morning, I'm walking by 6.
Win the morning, win the day. Just recently, because of the lockdown stuff, sometimes I roll over about 4:30 and I just think, you know what? I have a tub, I have a little tub bath, and then I just go and walk. Yeah. It's been great. Catching up with different friends.
Mate, you
and
had
stuff.
Your shirt off too this week.
Yeah.
Or something different.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
You are looking good at the moment.
Yeah, no, but it's just for my headspace, it's been really good, so I'm happy.
But in saying that, last week was fantastic. Drew Mitchell.
Mate, how good's he been? I mean, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law, and once you're in the hot seat, you're in for good.
Yeah, look, Del said many times ago that I was always riding on his coattails, but I'm happy to wear the suit now.
Beautiful. You keep your car park pass, and we'll worry about Del next week.
The thing for me last week was that, like, you were like one of those senior coaches who says, I'm going to delegate to the assistant coach, sure. But then once the assistant coach is in the hot seat, they're all over top and just being overbearing. You were texting us during the show going, really flat that part there, guys, just lift that up.
Well, you know, look, I am the X Factor, so when Drew came onto the show, I knew that he'd be a good replacement. Obviously, there's only one Del, and he did a really good job. I mean, Keisha actually said he's a good storyteller. Yeah, we know he's a good storyteller, but he's not actually my favourite in that family. His girlfriend Charlotte is. So she's a better storyteller.
Don't worry, we've got Brad Haddon and Drew Mitchell. They're two pretty good blokes to come off the bench.
Yeah. What about the sport we could talk about today, though?
Well, we're going to have to talk about it and talk about it big time. And, of course, the huge stories out of the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. Let's listen to how Channel 9 called the tackle on Manu.
Manu looking to break free, leaves it behind hoping.
Going to come back and penalise you, okay? For high contact. No. Hey, Joey.
Joey Manu has come from a long way away here. He's very upset by what happened.
And that's very much unlike Joseph Manu. Okay. Oh, wow. Oh,
look at his eye.
He's fresh in his eye socket.
I just get the feeling from that reaction, Manu feels as though he's seriously injured and may well be missing football.
Oh, do you think? And what about, let's go to the reaction from the coach, Trent Robinson.
And then it took Joey to stand up and go and stick up for himself with a depressed fracture of the cheekbone. Perenara, who's supposed to know some footy, and then doesn't do anything about it for maybe 30, 40, 50 seconds.
Now, Del, they said it was all about player welfare. They clamped down on the rules, which we're all happy to, and we eventually accepted them. Then they went soft again, and one could say even went backwards from where it previously was. The bunker has been an embarrassment all year, and Trent Robinson probably would get fined for it, but he said last night what everyone else thinks. What were your thoughts on what happened in and around that Manu incident last night?
Yeah, look, I think it needed to be said, and unfortunately, you know, Joseph Manu, he plays the game pretty clean. He's one of the best players in our game. He's a poster boy of our game. And with him and Luttrell, Luttrell, it just got personal. I know they've won premierships together. They're really good mates. But I just think sometimes Luttrell, his confidence can sort of get the better of him. And I'm not going to say bully, because I bully players on the field. But there's that little bit of borderline arrogance where, that entitlement. And look, I think, you know, Luttrell, unfortunately, I think he's going to be up for a
significant amount of time.
Yeah, just crazy. He's playing his best football, and he's been great to watch this year.
Let's break it down, though. Yep. How did Ashley Klein let them play on for a start? Like, how does that go on? And then nothing from the bunker in terms of Perenara calling in to say, let's go back. And they've got
what about the touch judge standing about 3 feet away?
Someone's got to say, that is unacceptable. We need to stop quickly.
We talk about player welfare and just, mate, we keep getting these things wrong. Like, mate, there's 3 or 4, you know, the video refs, and that we need to get it right, and we need to look after the players. Like, I was sitting there, and obviously you text me, and I looked at the replay, I was going, this is crazy stuff. Like,
What would the retribution be back in late 90s, you know, early 2000s for that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, I think when you're playing with guys like Gavin Allen and Alan Cairn and stuff, Trevor Gilmeister, I played with those guys, Glenn Lazarus, Peter Ryan, they just take it on themselves and make sure they dish out the punishment.
The martial law. Should we just say to the bunker, we're not doing it anymore, put all the money that goes into the bunker into grassroots rugby league and actually just let the referees rule it on field? Because when you've got so many mistakes, which are so obvious to everyone who's probably four or five beers in at home watching the second game, like I was last night, going, that's just pretty obvious. Yep. Why is the touch thing? Why is his eyes painted on? And we've now lost Latrell Mitchell and Joey Manu from the finals, two of the best, two out of the top five players in the game won't be playing finals football because of that tackle from Latrell. And no one even knew about it until Joey got up and said, hey, I've got a fracture here in my eye socket.
And they're good mates, aren't they?
They are good mates.
They won two premierships together. And then Latrell carrying on like a pork chop when he scored his try. He doesn't need to do that. He showed in Origin how awesome he is.
Yeah, sometimes I think when you play in your... It's a coliseum, you know. We're entertainers, and I know sometimes, you know, that the exuberance and you get really confident, and sometimes that can creep over. Look, Latrell's played some really good football this year, and I like the best part of Latrell, but a couple of little things have crept into his game. I can tell you now, Wayne Bennett wouldn't be real happy.
Well, he said in his press conference, he said, "I was going to rest a few blokes. I think the judiciary will do that for me."
If Latrell's gone for the seat, that's the Bunnies. I don't think they can't win it without Latrell. I mean, I know that Penrith last week it was, you know, 25-12, but you need Latrell at his best. I mean, they could put Alex Johnston or someone back there, but it's not going to be the same. So this could be very costly for not just, you know, Wayne Bennett, but the Bunnies.
The race for the eight, with teams sliding in and around that position at the moment. We can lock in, obviously, the Storm. We can lock in the Panthers. We can lock in Parramatta, South Sydney, the Roosters, and also Newcastle. So Canberra, Sharks and Titans, I think, are the other three that can make it. Tigers, Dragons, Warriors, all toast. So, please, which one and why? Canberra, Sharks and Titans, Del.
Look, I think the Raiders can make a bit of a run here. I think they've got the easier draw. I mean, I know it's the Roosters next week, but, mate, you're just...
Busted.
You're busted, you're depleted, you know.
Another two or three players out last night.
Yeah, and I think the Raiders, the way they play through that middle third, if they start like they did last night... They'll get beaten by the Roosters. But if they play like that in the second half, and that try before halftime, that was the catalyst for them. They can play that sort of football. Titans, you know, they should beat the Warriors, but they'll be just making up the numbers.
But the Sharks have got the Storm in the last round.
And that's right. And no matter who they rest, they're still going to be a pretty formidable team.
Storm resting, though, they will probably rest most, you would say. So you could end up playing a baby Storm play, which, you say, is still pretty good.
Yeah, it's still pretty good, you know. I think, we've seen it time and time again. It's that culture. But I reckon the Raiders can make a run here. I reckon.
So you're saying Raiders will make the eight in terms of you?
I think so, instead of the Sharks, yeah.
Okie dokie. What do you think, Jude?
Yeah, I think it's going to be just round out with Knights and the Raiders. I think they'll finish with a win over the Roosters next Thursday night, and that'll be locked in.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The Knights obviously locked themselves in with the win against the Titans. So
in dramatic style. Yeah, fantastic.
They're not playing great football at the moment. The Knights, but they're grinding. You need to win those ones.
Okay, so that's great for those fan base, great for those teams. Yep. It's another week and so forth. Can anyone outside of the top four win the competition?
Yeah, I think Manly can.
Okay. But they could be fourth.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they could
be with the Roosters dropping and Parramatta.
Exactly. And Parramatta, can I say, they're making up the numbers. Mate, Reid Marnie, I think I said it before, Reid Marnie is their most important player. Gutherson's come back to the field a little bit. Mitch Moses needs to step up. But I'm telling you now, Reid Marnie, you need someone of his class and his ilk.
Okie dokie. So you're saying Storm, Penrith, and Manly are the three teams that win now that South are going to lose Latrell.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Look, mate, South will give it a red-hot crack still. But, mate, Latrell, he offers you so much. You know, the way he carries himself on and off the field. He's got that aura about him. He's playing his best football now. And for me, I'm disappointed because we want to watch the best players play. Like last night, I know he'll look back and just go, mate, what was I thinking? You know, it was just one of those brain explosions. And we've all done it at some stage.
Yeah, no worries. Well, so much to look forward to. Obviously, lots of matches. Nearly every match will have some type of, you know, feeling towards the top eight. What's your mate's story that you simply don't believe? It's off the back of an amateur golfer who has defied unbelievable odds to pull off a stunning result, sinking not one, but two hole-in-ones during the same round. And he just doesn't care if you believe it or not.
The double hole-in-one. Like, most people will never have a hole-in-one in their life. Have you had a hole-in-one, Del?
Yeah, I've had two, mate.
You've had two, but not in the same round.
No, but when you go into Wollongong, the board on the left, I'm there. It's Wendell Sale 2018.
Okay, so you've got two in your whole life. How many rounds of golf you had? 1,000.
Oh, mate, 1,000.
So imagine putting two in one round. His playing partner absolutely says, hand on heart, he did it.
Yeah.
But he didn't see it go in because he's clowning around and they're good mates and they're not exactly focused.
Yeah.
But they've got down there and the hole and the ball is in the hole. So there's just a little bit of skepticism around it.
But if we've all got that mate who just, there's the truth that doesn't get in the way. Like, don't let the truth get away in the good of a good yarn.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, as I'll say this, but it's easy not to watch your ball go in. I've had two hole in ones and both times I never saw it go in. Because when I hit it good and I was turning around going, boys, that's what I do, boys. And it went one, two bounces in. And the first one that I hit was with Ben Eichen. Anyway, I thought it was over the back. I couldn't find the ball. It was under the tree. And Ikey walks up. Ikey goes, oh, my goodness.
He goes, I'm not going to hit. I'm not going to hit.
He goes, mate, come here. He goes, it's in the hole. And that's just what I do. So, yeah.
That is unbelievable. Yeah. And the second one, did you sort of know it went even in, no, even though you didn't see it go in?
No, I hit a 7-iron and the boys were having a few bets and stuff on the 8th hole at Wollongong in the competition, which was good. And then I go, yeah, boys, that's what I do. Like this. And as I did that, the boys go, it's in the hole. So it went one, two bounces and I didn't see it.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't care, man. That's just what I do, but
of course it does. Tony and Matraville, tell us a story or a mate of yours that tells stories that you simply just don't believe.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I've got a few friends at the Clovelly Cricket Club that they were so, you know, telling me, oh, you know, that Wendell is a good cricketer and that they're going to be signing him up. Mate, I didn't believe it, and it's true. He's not a good cricketer.
Wendell, that is really harsh. I mean, you've got your head in your hands.
As soon as you said, Chloe, Cricket Club, his head just dropped.
Who's this guy?
This is Tony from Matraville.
Yeah, Tony, look.
I've got another story as well.
Yep.
Go. Okay.
I was thinking about Wendell's McDonald's ad and how he said the closest town for Brisbane is Townsville. But Townsville's, I had a look on Apple Maps, Townsville's 1,300 kilometres away and Sydney's 900 kilometres from Brisbane.
Wow.
He's not good with that, too.
Tony, you know what? I get paid to do the ads. You do what you do and I'll do me, okay, mate?
Very good.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Tony. Let's go to Mark. Mark in the very leafy suburb that you know so well, Lane Mr. Cove. Bolton of Lane Cove. G'day, yeah. Mark.
G'day, how are you going?
Very good. Well. Tell us your story, brother.
Well, my story isn't actually not a BS story. It's a golf story like you guys talking about.
Okay.
So we were on hole six at Asquith Golf Club.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing. There's four of us, me and my mate and his father and his uncle. And we've all hit 7-irons and we've sprayed them left, right and everywhere.
Yeah.
And my mate picks up his 2-wood and he's going to hit a 2-wood. And his dad's saying, don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Anyway, he hits this 2-wood. It's the worst worm burner you've ever seen.
Mm.
Goes all the way down the fairway, all the way across the up onto the green and getting a hole in one.
Wow.
His old man's been playing for 40 years, grabbed his 7-iron, snapped it and said, that'll do me.
Yes.
That's crazy.
The 2-wood when everyone else has taken 7-irons.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yep. The worst shot you've ever seen was a hole in one. His dad's never had one. He said, that'll do me. I'm out.
Well, good on you, Mark.
You don't have to draw pictures. That's what they say. You don't have to draw pictures.
Well, there was a mate of mine called TC, and he won't mind me talking about this, but he is the worst golfer who plays regularly that I know. So he plays every Saturday, and I play him once or twice a year, and he gets worse.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why, and he's retired now. I used to work with him at Toshiba.
Mm.
He has got a hole in one at Long Reef where he teed off the par three. Four was the shout. It hit a bloke's buggy.
No.
Bounced through some rubbish where the other blokes were, because they all scattered, and rolls into the hole.
Yeah, that's something like out of Happy Gilmore or something, you know?
Like, is that fair dinkum?
Well, when you two played and you came back and you said everyone was calling you the natural, I was calling BS on that as well. That was
I the natural that day?
Mate, it was ridiculous, yeah.
I want to ask you guys a question, because there's been a thing come out on the Today Show, which I just absolutely love, because we're starting to feel, maybe with vaccination rates getting up in some sort of numbers, we might be able to travel sometime soon. Qantas are talking about starting flights in December. So your birth month is the first travel destination after lockdown.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's January, February, all the way through, and it's got a country next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what month were you born, Jude Bolton?
I'm a March baby.
You'll be going to the Whitsundays.
I love it up at the Whitsundays.
Yeah, you happy with that?
Yeah,
that's my neck of the woods.
I'd either go with Lynette, just the quali, or I'd take the kids and just go Hamilton Island.
Really nice golf course there. Den Island, Hamilton, beautiful.
Your wife is beautiful too.
She is beautiful.
You're handsome. She's beautiful.
She's sick of me in lockdown.
And mate, you know what? I mean, look at your mate. Your daughters, mate, they're beautiful young girls.
Yeah, they're growing up really well. They're good fun.
How's homeschooling going?
Oh, mate, I think I failed grade two maths, to be honest. But they're going as well as it can. I think you're trying to build some resilience during this time and then break the day up at different stages.
Can I ask this question? So when you're obviously teaching at home or homeschooling, do you have a beer or have a glass of wine?
There can be a bit of day drinking at stages, but I don't want to encourage that at some stages. But you know, I think it's just like doing different stuff with the kids, like getting them out for a bike ride here and there, or setting the fire out the back and the fire pit and doing stuff. So
you're in a safe place here, mate. You can tell the truth. Yes. You're in a safe place. What month were you born, big man?
July. Hello, July. Wendell Saylor. July.
You're going to Thailand.
Yes.
Are you happy with that?
Fantastic. I don't think I do because the last time I went over to one.
No, that's what the rule says. You're going to Thailand.
Yeah, no, I get nervous about those countries over there because on the 2000, after we won the grand final in 2000, I had a gun pulled on me. I was counting like a bit of a dickhead. And just to shock you, the Lions.
So you won the grand final. You went to Thailand on the end of season trip.
I went to Bali.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then
we're at this club. We'd obviously had a couple of big, Lottie Takiri was my roomie, had a couple of big days. We caught up with the Lions boys. I nearly had a fight with
them. They'd won the comp too?
Yeah, no, not 2000.
Oh.
But Justin Lepich, he was carrying on like a tosser, and I was being a tosser too. Oh. We nearly had a fight, and this bloke was sort of sitting in his car, and I said, come on, mate, you know, give us a lift, mate, you know. So he gets out of the car. Pulls a gun out, puts it to my head.
Oh, what?
With Benny Eichen and Darren Lockyer. Lockie couldn't put it in reverse quick enough.
Eichen tried to talk the bloke down, you'd think.
Benny Eichen,
sensible.
Yeah, Benny Eichen stepped in for me and, let me just tell you, I minded my manners for the rest of the trip.
I bet you did. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, well, I'm in December. I'm going to Fiji.
Buller.
I love it.
Happy days.
Buller Banaka.
Okay, let's talk about the AFL because the All-Australian team was picked and you were part of the selection committee, the panel. So that team is, for people who don't understand, the best team in the AFL for the year.
Absolutely. It's celebrating the years that the players have had this year, and it's the creme de la creme.
Okay, Jacob Wiedering from Carlton.
Missed out, yeah. There's a couple of controversial ones that, don't worry. Well, we're on social media, so we cop it from every fan base. And
where's Dusty?
The likes. Oh, Dusty was injured this year, so no, he didn't have the year that he needed.
You can't just pick him because you want to have a beer with him.
Yeah, but also actually, no Richmond players selected this year.
Yeah.
But Jacob Wiedering was one. You know, Charlie Cameron, Hugh McCluggage from Brisbane.
Yeah, the McCluggs.
Jake Stringer, Essendon
half forward. 106 people telling me, can you give it to Jude Bolton? How could you leave Stringer out?
Oh, well, he's had an incredible year, and I completely understand. We always look at these teams and go, you could actually pick another 6 to 8 players and easily shuffle them in. I mean, the big criticism of the panel is always that there's a midfield focus. It's been that type of year. There's been quality.
Why do you pick so many mids at half forward?
Well, some of them have played a little bit of forward as well, and we've got a good quality. I look at that lineup, and I think it's a quality.
How many arguments did you have over certain positions?
Oh, this is, really, it's big, challenging conversations to fight the case for different players. And I love being part of a process, and I know it's so subjective. When I look at a team and people criticise about certain player, I think, okay, who are you going to sub in there and who shuffles out? Because they always come back with a different team.
It's a great argument, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And you can have a few beers and talk about it to the cows come home.
Definitely. But the quality side, and then Max Gawn was named captain. So
beautiful. Let's talk about the finals. We've got the Sydney Derby today. We've got the Giants against the Swannies down there in Tassie.
Massive game of footy. And the winner takes on the Cats, who were a bit disappointing last night. They played really poor football. So the Swans just, I think they're good. They've got their game going at this point. But the Giants are playing some really good football and probably should have the strength in the midfield at this point. But I'm tipping the Swans.
Okie dokie. What about Melbourne? You picked them to win the flag literally after like 3 or 4 weeks, and they finished minor premiers and they've got the Lions tonight.
Yeah, it's a big game of footy. I think, the D's, their best defensive side versus an attack which was, riddled by injury at different stages. They lost Eric Hipwood, the Brisbane Lions, but, they've been able to find their way forward, and Joe Danaher's been sensational. So, let's see how that defence lines up. But I'm tipping the D's in that one.
Okie dokie. And what about the Bulldogs? So unlucky not to finish fourth. The Lions took that spot. They're up against Essendon. Do you think they'll get the job done?
I think the Dons will get this one done. But the Western Bulldogs, I mean, you look at their midfield and that's where their strength lies. So if they can get a hold of it, well, it's going to be a cracking game.
The AFL finals are here, and it's time to talk to this legend.
Our next guest played 198 games in the AFL over 12 years. He captained the Geelong Cats from the back line to two AFL premierships and became an All-Australian player in 2008. In his later life, his good looks got behind the mic for Channel 7. Now he heads up the Sydney Swans in the big chair as CEO. He's from Adelaide, but we won't hold that against him. Please welcome Dead Set legend Tom Harley.
Now, welcome to Dead Set Legends, Tom Harley. How are you, mate?
I'm good, boss. How are you, mate?
Really well. The Battle of the Bridge being played in Tasmania, the elimination final. How are the boys lining up? We know that there's no Luke Parker, no Callum Mills, and Josh Kennedy. It's going to be a massive midfield battle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Jude. We're really looking forward to it. It's amazing to think that in the past 10 years or so, this is our third final against the Giants. We've got a history of really strong contested battles, and you're right, through the midfield to where the game is typically won or lost. But now we're down here in Launceston. Jude came in yesterday, had a quick run around at UTAS Stadium and ready to go.
One of the great things about COVID, if there is a great thing, is the fact that Tasmania have got a final, not only one, but they've got two. Same thing with the rugby league, with regional Queensland getting these big games. That's a real bonus, isn't it, to be able to take finals to, a real stronghold of AFL.
Yeah, it is. It's, we're in a really tight biosecurity bubble here, given the exemption for us to travel into Tasmania from Victoria. So we're really appreciative of that. But what we do know is that both games sold out in a matter of minutes. The crowds are capped at 10,000. So it's been a while since we've had the opportunity to play in front of crowds and fans, and I've got no doubt it'll be a strong red and white feel to Launceston UTAS Stadium this afternoon, and really looking forward to it.
Hey, how's Buddy Franklin, an absolute superstar. I don't care what code you follow. You know when Buddy's on, Buddy's on. So I think he needs 8 goals to get 1,000. Is he a chance?
He has kicked 13 down here at Launceston before, but that was a while ago. But he had a week off a fortnight ago after playing 9 consecutive games. Amazing to think after not playing in effect for 18 months, he's played basically the whole season, was in the All-Australian squad again. It's a shame he didn't get that ninth jacket, which would have put him on a pedestal by himself. But kicked 6 goals last week, looked rejuvenated, has trained well this week. And chatting to him as we walked down the race at training yesterday, he certainly had a spring to step, and he knows this ground well. So, I'm not forecasting that. He's not focusing on that. But when he does, and he will at some stage, it'll be a great celebration for the game and for him.
Harles, both the Giants and the Swans have really sacrificed so much this year. They've been away from families and partners.
Watching them say goodbye to the kids and stuff yesterday was actually heartbreaking.
Really emotional.
The little ones holding onto the dad's legs. And
How much of a toll has that taken? I know there is a real core nucleus of young guys at the Swans, and they've embraced it, which John has noted. But how hard has it been in terms of just being away from family and friends?
Over the past couple of years, without sort of dwelling on it, the side's been on the road, and in most instances, at extremely short notice, and hopping from state to state, jumping these borders for, I think, 20 weeks out of the 54. So that's extraordinary. And this year, it was June 22, we first moved down to Melbourne, and have subsequently been up in up on the Gold Coast, back to Melbourne, and now down here in Tasmania. And hopefully we're on the road for another month yet. But we were able to get the families together. The families did 2 weeks of hotel quarantine up in Brisbane, and we've been together for 3 weeks, and now we're obviously on the road, and they're staying in Melbourne. It was a great time that we have had, but enormous sacrifices, and the Giants have made the exact same sacrifices. So, there is and should be an acknowledgement of the contribution and efforts that both the Sydney clubs have made to keep the competition going.
Absolutely, and the fans, we appreciate it. Now, Tom, we love the fact you've come on a few times on this show, but I'm embarrassed to now bring up this story and to bring back a memory for you that you no doubt will find hard. Jude Bolton, pushing you into an umpire back in the day when you were trying to lead your side to victory over his side, you being fined $2,500 for no mistake other than having to be shoved into the umpire by our very own Jude Bolton. Now, you're $2,500 short, and it was no fault of yours. Is that correct?
That's 100% true. It's the only blemish I've got on my tribunal record, and I did attempt to fight that. I might have even been slugged a bit more than I'd ever told you. So it might have been $2,500 up to $3,000, but yeah, he was a bit of a thug, dude.
Yeah, we know he's a bully.
Thought I'll just push him into the poor little fella in white.
Get a bit of separation, nice little wrap around, try and get the hit too.
Who won that game? Yeah, can you remember?
I think Gary Ablett took us apart.
Something different.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Tom.
I think you did. Yeah, thanks so much for having us, guys, and I'm sure everyone in Sydney is excited about a derby final.
Time now to play You Can't Ask That, questions from social media, where you get to ask whatever questions you want of Del, Jude, and myself. And let me start the ball rolling. I have a question for you, Del.
Yes.
If you could have been coached by anyone, Del, who would have been?
In rugby league or outside that?
Anything.
I would love to be coached by Sir Alex Ferguson.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. One of the greats of all time. And do you think mainly because of that sort of
just
man management stuff?
And his presence and like to manage those egos at Manchester United and the way that he carried himself is unbelievable.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'd be Bill Belichick, I think.
Oh, that's not bad.
Fantastic. All right. Some of these questions are cooked. Okay, this one comes from Mother of Unicorns 1974. What type of underwear do you boys wear?
Oh,
what is that?
Hold on, let me just.
Oh, no. That's.
I think
that's super offensive.
I think it's called step one.
Hang on,
step one.
You don't need to show us.
Is that step one?
My goodness.
Step one. They're very comfortable. No chasing.
There's a big veranda hanging over there.
Hey, whoa, this is radio, man.
No, I'm just.
Are they like Spanx or something? Sorry.
They're called step one.
Oh, sorry.
They're for the bigger man, for no one, and you get no chafing.
I like to free ball it.
You don't wear underpants?
My goodness.
Not all the time. Okay. I just want to let it hangless. But every now and then, bonds sometimes. But I just want to go free.
Wow.
Okay.
Free Willy. There's a lot to
free,
that's...
Yeah. Free Willy.
Your question.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Here we go. This one's for you, Jude. Does Jude still practice his ballroom dancing?
Oh, you were a very good dancer. Did you win it?
No, nowhere near it. No. But I... Now and then, just with my daughters, I'll just take them around the room and just, you know.
Using the daughters up. Oh, this guy is ruthless.
Hey. Yeah.
The rest of Sydney's women just fell in love with you again.
Yes.
So annoying.
Okay, this to you, Del, from Nathan OPT.
Yeah.
Wendell, you've been on a lot of TV shows. What TV show would you love to be on?
I'd like to go on SAS.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think now you've said it, I think you will be.
I've actually inquired about me this year, but then Sam Burgess came along, and I think Sam goes pretty well on it too, so okay. I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to do that, because I'm not a big fan of water and stuff, and obviously I'm scared of heights, but I reckon out of my comfort zone it'd be good.
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
They start with the big push out of the helicopter
into the water.
But I've got to say this. Those SAS boys get in my face. I don't like that shit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to you being on that. Jude, this one's for you. Jude, what is your least favourite thing about homeschooling?
For me, it's just trying to juggle work in between, I think. Like, I feel for the kids, like, they're just so wound up and, you know, we're trying to get off a meeting and then go back to it and that sort of stuff. So it's just the juggle of everything.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Any other questions? Anyone's questions for me?
Yes, sure. Okay. Will Gus make his debut on the wing for the Roosters this season with only a handful of players left?
I tell you what, if Robbo asked me, I would happily go anywhere for the Roosters, but I don't think I'd be very good.
I'd love to play you. I'd just love to smash you up. I'd just be into you.
You've done that in the studio before as well. And he's been squealing like a pig.
Just the thought of you coming towards me sometimes is enough. Yeah. And that day you got me in that choker hold.
Yes.
You were tapping out. You were trying to tap out.
I tapped out immediately, and you still kept going little bit longer. Yes. I had to go and get someone to sort my neck out.
You just need to learn sometimes. If you go with the beast, that's what happens.
And that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to hear us live, you can catch us every Saturday morning on 104.9 Triple M. We'll be back next week, of course. And thanks for listening to us on the Listener app.